Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
All right, if you guys have your Bibles, go with me to Galatians chapter 5. This morning, I want to read a passage that we are probably too familiar with. Is that all right? And we're too familiar with it. We don't understand the weight of it. We know the kids' songs around it, the fruit of the Spirit. We know all of the, we can memorize it, but we probably, many of us in the room, have not looked much further or deeper into it. And I actually want to use this passage for maybe something unexpected, but I want to talk this morning about sitting in under the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Anybody else feel like it's becoming increasingly complicated to be a human? It's just like, has it ever been more complicated? I think when I think about the generation that's walking the earth right now, I think there's an amazing and extraordinary call on this generation to carry the wholeness on their hearts. But how many of you guys know that our attempt to do the gospel without the Holy Spirit really turns to some crazy things? You know, I think about like wokeness and being woke. And I think about like what an extraordinary call of a generation that actually wants to connect to all of the different facets of societies and the hurts and the pains. And the more they carry the intellectual understanding of emotional pain and trauma, of racial divide in people's personal life stories and experiences, with the accessibility that now we can actually see lives that we've never experienced or known before. We've never, you know, there are many people that have never lived in or witnessed or experienced the pain or the difficulty that someone of another race or gender may experience, or and all those things that we go through in life. How many of you guys know that now that we are becoming aware of what people's stories are, and now we're getting more understanding of it, that we now carry generationally responsibility to carry an awareness of people's stories and lives. But how many of you guys know with awareness and understanding comes responsibility, and it's getting really complicated. There's now a higher level of expectation of responding to every world event and every relational situation the appropriate way. And not only that, but you could go through a season of life where you're not sleeping well, and you can just go on WebMD and see all the things that are potentially wrong with you. And for every problem that's wrong with you, there's another book out there that's telling you what it could be, and it usually all comes back to there might be mold in your house. You know, there's like books on like your genetic coding, and now we all done the ancestry.com or DNA test, and now you're like, you know, you're like, oh, that's really interesting that you're prone to depression on Thursdays, and you go, well, I have the genetic code of WZ3224H, and they're just really prone to depression on Thursdays, and it's expected that we all know this. Hey, so it's just getting really complicated. I mean, you just spend a second on TikTok, and there's somebody for 30 seconds dancing, pointing at bubbles about all of their anxieties and depressions and how it's normal. And some of you are like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. It's a thing. It's a thing. And as leaders now, like, we have to live under the cloud of Google. And we have all these ideas of like, well, you actually work for 15 minutes, take breaks for 1 hour, work for another 15 minutes, and you get more done. And there's like these comparisons now of like workplaces and leadership and what works and doesn't work. And in a marriage, this week alone, I had one thing that I was trying to get some advice from some people on about a marriage that I was working with. I called three different people that have no connection to these individuals at all. I got three pieces of advice that were all saying that the other piece of advice I got was complete rubbish. And do you guys know what I'm talking about right now? I could point you in 1,000 directions for every problem. There's a book There are book deals that are in place right now, not because the person has anything to say, but because the person is popular. And it gets presented to us as like, this person has found the golden key to fix your life. And the person has actually no idea what they're going to say yet. All they know is they have a book deal because they have 30,000 followers on Instagram. My point is that we are a self-help generation. And even within Christianity, there are so many. Self-help has taken over Christianity. The different therapeutics around Christianity, my God, you have 40 different organizations doing it 40 different ways and all claiming to be the most secure biblical way of doing deliverance and freedom or inner healing and all these different things. They're at war with each other because everyone is trying to like buy their plot of land and fight everybody for it. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's just complicated to just be alive right now. I say all this to say is that I want to talk this morning about simplifying the complexities of human relationships and scenarios are becoming increasingly complicated. I want to simplify it this morning. But how many of you guys know that in the midst of all of this, there is a call of the church to recognize we've never known as much as we know right now. We've never known the stories of people that grew up in single parent homes like we know now. We never knew the stories of what a young Latino or African American that grew up differently than the way that you grew up. You now know what their life stories and experiences have been. You now understand the stories of women trying to succeed in the workplace. And how many of you guys know these stories are so real? And I know sometimes we push back at that what becomes expected, like language-wise and terminology-wise. We might push back a little bit saying like, listen, you can't expect me to do this and do X, Y, and Z. But how many of you guys know there actually is a responsibility for the church to carry the pains of society and bring healing and bring health and wholeness to a generation. Is that okay? But how many of you guys know the self-help generation will never accomplish it? But that we're called to sit in the counsel of the Holy Spirit to get wisdom and counsel that we can bring supernatural healing and breakthrough. And even in marriages, did you know that the divorce rate in the church is the same as the divorce rate in the world? My sister and I were sitting down about a church that we grew up with, and we were talking about all of the past families that were like part of the eldership team with our family. We grew up as kids, and we saw them all, and we loved them all, and they played such a significant part of our life. We started going down the list. All of those couples that we loved and looked up to, they're all divorced. And I've just been thinking about this, saying like, who's going to be the generation that is going to actually stand in the same difficulties, the same trials, the same problems are going to arise that always have, but there's going to be a people that know how to stand in the counsel of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying they run a certain kind of marriage program, a certain kind of parenting program, a certain kind of care program, a certain kind of counseling program, and it's the golden key. I'm done with trying to find the golden magical pill. And I want to start sitting, like learning how to sit in the counsel of the Holy Spirit and to actually like get wisdom that brings wholeness and breakthrough. Not just for me as a leader for you, but teaching a church on how to actually sit in the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? Yeah. And go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Because I really don't want to minimize the complexities of pain. I actually, when I say I want to simplify things, I don't want to minimize. But I do want to simplify the response. Because I don't know about you, but maybe as a leader that has to be engaged in culture and to listen to the Lord, I get actually like legit overwhelmed. I start scrolling and I'm like, oh my God, I got to turn it off. Because I just get overwhelmed. What's expected of me and to define me as a good, whole person. And I want to actually simplify our response this morning. Let's just read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery and fornication and uncleanliness and lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm gonna be really simple with my message. I did kind of a long intro, and I apologize for that. But I think sometimes we're all too often trying to solve our inabilities and failures with knowledge, the creation of new habits, instead of spiritually growing in the virtues that flow naturally from life in his presence. There's a lot of behaviors that are creating brokenness in society, and God's antidote is that he gave us the Holy Spirit to work his life and his virtues inside of us so that those virtues would become standards in which we live, believe, think, see, and act through. In Galatians chapter 5, he says this. He says, at the beginning of it, he introduces the concept. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's talking about these two things. There's that which is produced from the flesh, and there's that which is produced from the Spirit. And he goes, and if you don't want to do the things that come out of the flesh, then walk in the Spirit and you will not actually fulfill the lust of the flesh. Put your focus on actually walking these things out, because the things that come out of the flesh are things like lust and immorality, like adultery, fornication. It actually looks like outbursts of wrath. It looks like trying to fight for your own and not fighting for others. It looks like dissensions and heresies, all these things. When you're in the flesh, this is the natural byproduct of it. But when you're in the Spirit, there's love and peace and joy and kindness and patience and long-suffering go before you, right? I think oftentimes that we think our problem in front of us is causing the problem inside of us, but the reality is it's the problem inside of us that's delaying or complicating the problem outside of us. And we were never promised that the world around us would be okay. We're actually promised the complete opposite. The world is going to fall apart. It's going to be horrific. But I'm telling you that I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, because he will actually change your internal reality and the lens in which you live in, and the virtues of godliness being worked inside of you, so that you can actually thrive in an environment that is absolutely falling apart all around you. So as we look at like our marriage, or we look at problems or relationships, we go, I am so angry, I am so depressed, I am so discouraged because my marriage is bad, right? Or because these things are happening in my life. But the reality is the things in our life are actually being much more influenced by the internal realities inside of us. That we actually have a responsibility to not walk by the flesh, but to walk by the Spirit, and that the external things happening around us will begin to get influenced by the internal work that we're working on. I think sometimes like we think about, we look at our marriage and go, we can't stop fighting, you know? Like we can go good for a minute, and then we just can't stop fighting. It comes back around, you know? So we're like, well, maybe we'll, they can become fine tools, right? But how many of you guys know that you're probably fighting, not because you're not doing date nights, but because that you've fallen out of love with each other because you allowed an offense or hurt and a pain to cause dissension in your marriage. And there's no date night that's going to fix that. You actually need to sit in the counsel of the Holy Spirit until He removes the thorn of dissension inside of your heart. And you actually grow in love and kindness. And instead of like going out for dinner every Wednesday night, you actually come home from work and talk nice to your spouse. The reality is that, you know, like we could be going through marriage crisis and I could hand you Gary Chapman's book on the 5 love languages. But I'm telling you right now, it doesn't matter how many love languages that you know or like you've taken a test and you understand, love languages won't work if you don't have love. And Gary Chapman's book doesn't grow love. Love is actually a fruit of the Spirit. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. He'll be a counselor. And in Proverbs 11:14, it says, in the multitude of counselors is wisdom. I want you to imagine for a second, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are actually all facets of the nature of God. They are all the persons of God, and they're sitting around a table called wisdom, and every complication you have in your life that you've been invited through fellowship with the Holy Spirit to sit at the table called wisdom and sit in the multitude of counselors. I don't know how to respond to my boss. I don't know how to fix my marriage. I don't know how to lead my children. That there is a table called wisdom, and all the persons of God are sitting at that table, and you've been invited to fellowship with the Holy Spirit in the multitude of counselors and receive wisdom. And that there's so much wisdom that's available that when you are going through a difficulty, a trial, or a struggle, I'm struggling with my kids, that there is a person, a facet of God that wants to take his arm around your neck, go on a walk with you. His name is Patience. And He wants to walk with you, and He wants to teach you how to grow in patience for your children. That there is a relationship at work that you're struggling with, and you can't go to work every day. You are hanging your head. You're so discouraged, and there is a person of God called kindness, and He wants to walk with you and actually teach you how to grow in kindness and its impact. There are these extremely volatile cycles of loss in your life that's causing extreme discouragement. And brokenness in your life is leading to depression. And there is a person of God called faithfulness that wants to step into your world and life and begin to teach you how to pull apart the lies of discouragement and pain and fear and anger and disrupt all those things so that you can grow in your faithfulness. There is wisdom to be had sitting in the multitude of the counselors of the Holy Spirit. Is this making sense to you? In Galatians 5:13, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. There's 2 stone tablets with 5 commandments on each stone, right? The 10 commandments. One stone represented the sins against God. The other stone represented the sins against man. Honor your mother and father. Do not murder, right? Do not commit adultery. But then you have on the other stone, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And you have these sins against God and man. And Jesus was questioned in Matthew 22 by the teachers of the law trying to trip him, saying, Jesus, of all those commandments in the law, which one is the most important? And Jesus said, to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these 2 things hinges all the law and the prophets. Meaning that there's a lot of laws and there's a lot of things that are impossible for you to fulfill with all your self-help techniques. So let me simplify it for you. If you grow in love for God, you will not sin against God. And if you grow in love for people, you will not sin against people. And he simplifies it here in Matthew 5:13, where he says, do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And he actually goes at it and he goes, it's not about don't murder and don't dishonor your parents and don't commit adultery. Love your wife and grow in love for me and grow in love for each other. Because if you sit in the counsel of the Holy Spirit and you grow in love, you will actually protect and guard your heart from behaving in a way that wounds your neighbor. It's simple. All the complications of life can be simplified by let me sit in the counsel of the persons of God, receive wisdom at their table, and grow in all the virtues of godliness. The problem is there is a generation who is trying to figure out how to be godly without the Holy Spirit. And they're creating terminology that's created an unwanted and unnecessary expectation that will actually create mental health issues in a generation because of the fear, the shame, and the struggle that they're going to go through because of concepts and theories like wokeness that puts pressure on a generation to do something they have no ability to do. But there's deliverance and freedom that Jesus gave the Holy Spirit as a helper. That we could actually do what wokeness is attempting to do, but with actual wisdom and healing that will deliver a generation, will set a generation free, that will bring healing to divided homes, that will restore marriages, that will actually bring righteousness back to sexuality. Are you hearing me? That will actually heal a cloud that comes over races and genders and people that cause division and pain and hurt. There is wisdom and counsel in the Holy Spirit, but our focus cannot be, do not do this, do not do this, do not do this, be this way. It has to be on growing in love and patience and kindness and self-control. There's a lot of people in this room who you have an area of shame, a bondage in your life that you are struggling in sinfully, and your attention has gone to do not, do not, do not, and it should be in, Lord, teach me how to grow in self-control. Teach me how to love myself so well that I actually lose an appetite for the things that harm me. Teach me how to grow in self-control, Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit will walk into your life with wisdom and say, you know, there's some lies that you're believing about yourself. And there's some things that you don't know about yourself that cause you not love yourself. And so you don't have any self-control in this area. Hey, I got some wisdom for you. Let's work on this area of your life. And it doesn't have to be complicated that we're searching in outside places. We've been invited to the table to sit in the multitude of counselors. Is this okay? All right. Here's my last thing for you. All of this comes down to how do we grow in the virtues of God? Hear the voice of counsel in these areas of your life. And they will become strongholds because we're trying to accomplish things in our own flesh. How do we grow and how do we fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Here's what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to give you a rule guide for that 1 hour that you get. And if you go under an hour, then it wasn't fellowship at all. Right? That's not what we're going to do. That's not what fellowship with the Holy Spirit is. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit is listening prayer. It is throughout your day inviting the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak and listening. Secondly, it's invitation for the Holy Spirit to work. Invitation for the Holy Spirit to work is not him to work in the way that you want him to work. It's recognizing that even the things that you don't like, he is working in. And you're actually looking for the movement and the thumbprint and the DNA of the Holy Spirit, even in the losses, pains, and difficulties of life, that you're recognizing the opportunity to grow in love and patience and kindness. That when there is a problem relationally in your life, you're actually recognizing this divide in your life, and you're looking like, wow, I see an absence. Holy Spirit, work inside of me, and you're inviting him to work in the thing that you're looking to be saved from. Okay. It's mindful consideration. which is kind of included in what I've already said, but it's mindfully considering the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is actually becoming continually aware of him. That there are moments, I'm so aware of him that Tim saw a reflection of a little circular light that was probably someone's watch over here, right? And my first thought was, Holy Spirit, are you saying something? Tim and I are both looking for an angel. You know what I mean? Like, I remember being in a meeting once, and it was like about 15 of us in a little living room. And I have a friend named Roger Joyner. Has anybody ever been around for Roger Joyner? Have you guys ever heard the story of my friend Roger Joyner? Roger was one of the spiritual sons of Lou Engle. And he is the guy that had fast and pray tattooed on his knuckles. And he had mercy and judgment tattooed on his neck. He's a pretty intense dude. When he prays, but he's the softest, most gentle person you'd ever meet. But when he prays, I don't think anybody in the room knows what's happening, but they want to cry with Roger. And Roger will go, God save the unborn babies of the world. And he's crying, and snot starts running out of his nose. He's crying, and he fasts and prays for days on end. I can't take the dude out for dinner because he's always fasting. He's always praying, but everybody in the room starts crying when Roger prays. That's the kind of guy he is. I'm in a living room. I've been around him so much, it kind of makes me laugh because it's kind of like he pushes the cry button and the whole room weeps and falls out of their seats. And it makes me kind of laugh because I'm like, it's just inevitable every time. And so I was in a meeting once and Roger begins to pray. We're in a living room of 15 people and everyone has their hands out. And Roger's usually this far away, so never one ever noticed it. But there's a spray section with Roger. Okay? It just goes everywhere. And Roger begins to pray, and I'm sitting behind him. I'd been preaching all morning, and I look, and I see that there's like a glass coffee table, and there is just spit and snot all over the table. They were having to bring Lysol wipes out after every meeting we'd have to wipe everything down after Roger prayed. It was insane. And Roger, Roger begins to pray, and I watch a large water spit fly out of his mouth. And I watch it, and there's a lady holding her hands out, and it lands right on her palm. And I go, and you know what she does? She goes, we end the time of prayer, and she goes, guys, the most amazing thing happened while we were praying. It started raining in the room. Did anybody else feel the drops? And other people are going, yeah. Oh my gosh, I felt that too. And I am mortified. But listen, I say I let them go on for a minute with it. But I said, guys, I have to step in and let you know. And then, of course, everyone's running to the bathroom to wash their hands. Here's the last couple of things about fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I just want to say, number four, submission to his will, where we actually yield ourselves to the transforming work of the conversations with the Holy Spirit, that we actually allow his confrontations. Has anybody ever, I'm always amazed when people will read a book that is like insane and they go, yeah, it was fine. And then they like literally nothing happened inside of them. I'm like, you read all of that about shame, or you read all of that about that, and you're still are like, you took nothing from it. It was like a novel to you. How many of us know that even in those self-help books, if we're reading them, that they can be wonderful tools, but how many of us know that even in those, we have to submit to the Holy Spirit's work inside of us, that he's working something inside of me, and that means that I have to allow the things inside of me that are broken and not yielded or transformed to him are actually being yielded, saying, I will change the way that I do that, Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to walk that out. And lastly, is teachability to his ways. Keeping a heart that's tender. And once again, this kind of goes into the last thing I said, submission to his will, but remaining teachable, where it says, I am Holy Spirit, I am ready and I'm listening and I'm ready to respond to every word that you say. And when we walk in the continual awareness and fellowship with the Holy Spirit in that way, it will bring a profound transformation where we sit at the table of the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Is that all right? Why don't you guys stand with me?